Exodus, the third chapter this morning. Exodus, the third chapter. For those that are visiting this morning, we have been studying the book of Exodus for a number of weeks now. And we are still in the initial stage of God leading his people out of bondage. From the hand of the Egyptians, and God has chosen a man by the name of Moses to lead God's people out. Exodus chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it reads, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey." Let's bow for prayer. O God, we thank you for this beautiful day and thank you for this opportunity to worship. So we ask and pray now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit and that you would teach us from your inspired word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. Question, what does it take to get us advancing for the Lord? How does God get Moses moving? See, God has called Moses to lead God's people out of Egypt. And God spells that mandate out very clearly there in verse number 10 of chapter 3 of Exodus. I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses, with his calling, was concerned about his authority initially. He asked the question, verse number 11, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? What authority do I have to lead Israel out of Egypt? That was the concern of Moses. And God went on to say from verses 11 down to verse number 15 that you have all of the authority you need to do what I've called you to do. God said to Moses, you have my presence. And besides my presence, I have a purpose for why I want you to lead Israel out of bondage. And then in verse number 13 and 14, God said to Moses, you also have authority to do as I've commanded you, because I am the I Am. I am the one and true and living God. And then last but not least, in verse number 15, God said to Moses, Moses, you have authority to lead my people out of bondage because of the fact of relationship that Israel, your people, has a relationship with the covenant-keeping God. So therefore, Moses, you have all the authority you need. So who am I, you might ask? You have my authority. You have my authority. And in the same way, God has given to us as Bible-believing Christians all the authority we need to do what he has called us to do. God gives us the ability and God gives us
the authority. So as we move on to verse number 16 of Exodus chapter 3, now that God has dealt with this issue of authority with Moses, God tells Moses to communicate to the leadership what will happen next. God tells Moses to inform Israel, my people, that I have called you, Moses, to lead them out of Egypt. As it reads then, verse 16, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them. This morning I'd like for us to note how God gets Moses moving. What does it take to get you and I moving for the Lord? What does it take? Let's see how God gets Moses moving. How God gets Moses leading. And when God moves the leader, God moves the people that he leads. First and foremost, I'd like for us to note from verses 16 and 17... that God gets Moses moving by, number one, giving hope. The key word is hope. God said to Moses, go and gather all the leaders and say unto them that God has heard your cry and he is now come down to deliver you out of Egypt and lead you into the promised land. So as it reads there at the end of verse 17, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Now this is a promise that was given to God's people in ages past. For in Genesis 15, verses 13 and 14, God said to Abraham, and he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, in reference to Egypt, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. So God made this known to Abraham before the event took place. And verse 14 reads, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. I'm going to judge that nation that will hold your people in bondage for 400 years. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance. An amazing prophecy given to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 15. So this is a promise given to God's people in ages past. And in order to get Moses moving, he is given hope. I want you to go back to the leadership, Moses, and tell them that God has heard your cry for deliverance and I have come down to deliver you out of affliction and I'm going to lead you into a land, verse 17, a land that flows with milk and honey. So God gives the assurance of a brighter future ahead for the people of God. There is hope for the people of God. The term a land that flows with milk and honey speaks of agricultural prosperity. Egypt is a dry, barren land. And God said, I'm going to lead you out of a dry, barren land into a land that flows with milk and honey. See, here in Exodus chapter 3, verses 8 and 17, we have the first mention of this little phrase, a land that flows with milk and honey. It is found some 20 times within the pages of the Old Testament. Here in Exodus, then Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Jeremiah, and then Ezekiel. So God gives the assurance of a brighter future ahead. But note the fine print there in verse 17, I'll bring you up out of affliction of Egypt under the land of the Canaanites. And God mentions six people groups that are in this land that God gives to the nation of Israel as their divine possession. So God said to Moses, I want you to relay to the leadership that it will not be a walk in the park. They will have to battle with existing nations in order to take full possession of the land. But at the same time, God gives them hope in a land promised. So how does God move Moses? How does God move the nation of Israel? How does God move you and I? How does God want to move you and I this morning for His glory, to fulfill His will? God gives hope. People need hope. God is the God of hope. There is no hope outside of God. There is wishful thinking, but the Bible teaches us that God is the God of hope. His hope is spelled out within the pages of Scripture. Note there in Romans chapter 15, please, quickly, Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verses 4. And 13, verse 4 reads, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Look at verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. See, people need hope. And my friend, this morning, the Bible teaches us that God is the God of hope. And God spells hope. God defines hope within the pages of the Word of God. Without God, there is no hope. And in order for God to move Moses and to move the nation of Israel to leave Egypt, God gives them hope. I'm going to deliver you out of affliction, and I'm going to lead you to a land that flows with milk and honey. Hope. Hope is motivating. When you lose hope, there is no motivation. Am I right or not? It's true. Hope energizes. My friend, do you have the hope of eternal life? See, in Titus chapter 1, verse number 2, the Bible teaches us that God, who cannot lie, has promised us the hope of eternal life. The hope of eternal life, what do we mean by this? We simply mean that you can have and enjoy the deliverance from the bondage of sin. See, Egypt is a fitting picture of bondage, slavery. The nation of Israel were experiencing slavery. And God provided a deliverer by the name of Moses to lead them out of slavery, out of bondage, into freedom, from bondage to freedom. And in the same way, God the Father has provided a deliverer. His name is Jesus Christ. And he came into this slave-inflicted world to deliver you and I out of bondage and into his light and life. If the Son shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed. So just like God called Moses to lead God's people out of bondage, God the Father has sent God the Son into the world to die on the cross for our sins. He was buried and he rose again in order to lead you and I out of the bondage of sin, in hope of eternal life. Do you possess the hope of eternal life? And because of this hope of eternal life, you and I, as Bible-believing Christians, can enjoy and rest in the hope of his soon return. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Hope. Hope motivates. Do you possess the hope of eternal life? And may the hope of eternal life and the hope of the return of Christ motivate you to get moving for God's glory in 2022. We've had 2.5 years of demotivation. And it's hope, my friend, that motivates. So how does God move Moses to move God's people? He gives him hope. And he said to Moses, I want you to convey some hope to the leadership. God has come down to deliver you out of affliction and to lead you into a land that flows with milk and honey, a fertile land, not a dry, barren land that you've experienced for the last 400 years, but a fertile land. Hope. Hope. And then we move on in verse number 18, please, of Exodus chapter 3. How does God get Moses moving in order to move God's people? See, God has called Moses to lead God's people out. He initially struggled with his authority. What authority do I have to go before Pharaoh and to tell him, let Israel go? God said, Moses, you have all the authority in the world. All the authority in the world. And then God gives Moses hope. Moses, I want you to convey some hope. Hope. But note here also in verse number 18, I note a further principle that moved Moses to move God's people. Look at verse 18, please, of Exodus chapter 3. It reads, and they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And you shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go. We beseech thee, we beg you, 3 days' journey into the wilderness. Allow us to leave for 3 days to go into the wilderness. Note the end of verse 18, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Hope motivates. Secondly, this morning, goals motivate. Goals motivate. God said to Moses, once they accept your words, you are to go to the king of Egypt and say, God has met with us, Pharaoh. Let us go so we can worship God in the wilderness for 3 days. Interesting. Now, deliberately, nothing is said about coming back to Egypt. See, God is tactful. God is wise. And God said to Moses, when you appear before Pharaoh, just say you're going to worship for 3 days. Because the obvious question begging for Pharaoh will be, what for? Why should I let you go? And God wisely said to Moses, you will tell Pharaoh that you are to let the people go for 3 days to worship, to sacrifice unto the Lord God of the heavens. That's the goal. So how does God move Moses? Hope. How does God move Moses? Gives him a goal. A goal. But God warns Moses in verse number 19... that it will not be straightforward. Pharaoh will not just let you go until I show him my might, that I am the Lord God of the heavens. Look at verse 19. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No. Not by a mighty hand. So God is saying in essence to Moses, I want you to make the move, take the step. God always works through obedience. And when the child of God obeys God, then God will work. But see, God wisely provides a goal. Tell Pharaoh that we don't want you to allow us to leave Egypt just to enjoy a change. No, you are to tell Pharaoh to let you go for 3 days in the wilderness to worship, to sacrifice unto God. 3 days. Initially. Goals. See, goals do motivate, do they not? And when God calls for obedience, God has a purpose in that. When you and I receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior, if from that moment on, God desires to change you and I into His image. And also to take your life and my life and use us for His glory. See, hope motivates. Goals motivate. I think it's been well said, an old Irish proverb that goes like this. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. I think it's an old Irish proverb. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. So unless you have goals, there's little motivation. What are your goals? May I submit to you that God has some ordained goals for you and I? And as you and I bear in mind those goals, they will motivate us to get moving. The Apostle Paul was motivated by the goal of proclaiming Christ. He said there in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul understood that God had called him to preach and to proclaim Christ. That was his goal, and that motivated him. See, hope motivate, goals motivate. God said to Moses, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him, you need to let us go. Let us go for 3 days so we can go into the wilderness that we may sacrifice unto our God. And then we move on in verses 20 and 21 of Exodus chapter 3. It goes on to read in verse 20, I will stretch out my hand and will smite Egypt with all my wonders which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that he will let you go. In verse 21, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. Here we see that God provides some further motivation to move Moses and to move God's people. Provides hope. A land that flows with milk and honey. Provides a goal in order to sacrifice unto the one true and living God outside of Egypt. And now we see in the concluding verses of this chapter, God said to Moses, God gave Moses the assurance that the one true and living God will work. Will do wonders when God's people obey. God said to Moses that Pharaoh will not initially let you go until he touches, he feels, he experiences my power. I will send judgments over the land. And then he will let you go. Note the phrase there at the end of verse 20. And after that, he will let you go. So God gives Moses a forecast of the great plagues to come upon Egypt. And I'm so looking forward to studying them. That might take us till the end of the year. So God gives Moses a little forecast of the great plagues to come upon Egypt, and then they will let you go. For God said, in them I will show my might, I will show my power to deliver. And my friend, is it not within the challenges of life, as we walk in obedience to His word, that God manifests His power? As Ephesians chapter 3 reads, that God is able to do above and beyond that which we might ask or think. According to His power that works within us. See, God spells out in the Word of God how He's going to work. But Moses, you just need to do what I've told you to do. I need you to go and tell the leadership this is what we're doing. And then I want you to tell Pharaoh this is what God has told us to do. Now, he's not going to like it initially. But don't worry, Moses, you obey, you get moving, I will manifest my power. And then rest assured, Moses, he will let you go eventually. Eventually. God's working. And we see the hand of God at work that moves us. But see, obedience is the engine room. Obedience is the engine via which God moves us by revealing to us, wow, look at how God is working. God said to Moses, I'm going to send judgment over the land and they will eventually let you go. But also note then verse 21, God made a promise to Moses that you will not go empty. Look at verse 22, please. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor, and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment or clothing, and ye shall put them upon your sons. That's pretty trusting. And your daughters, they're going to carry them out for you. And note the end of verse 22, ye shall spoil the Egyptians. See, God is going to work when we obey Him. We obey Him because we have hope. We obey Him because we have a goal in mind to do what God has called us to do. And God is going to work. God is going to manifest His power in your life and in my life, and God will provide. See, God said to Moses, I'm going to bless your people materially. You will not leave Egypt empty-handed. I'm going to bless you material. You are going to spoil the Egyptian. I'm going to so spoil the Egyptians, your sons and your daughters will carry it all out for you. The jewels, the gold, the silver. You will not leave empty-handed. I will give you the riches of the Egyptians. See, God blesses us materially for a purpose. And there was a reason why God's people will leave Egypt with great riches. Because if we were to jump forward to Exodus chapter 35, we will note that the gold and silver that came out of Egypt was used in the construction of the tabernacle. See, God promises to bless us materially for a reason. Not to hoard, but to use it for God's glory. And as we obey God in fulfilling that goal that He has set before us, though there will be some struggles, there will be some Canaanites that you have to deal with, some Hittites you have to deal with, some Jebusites you have to deal with, there will be some obstacles. But if you will obey me, God said, and God is saying to you and I will manifest my power and I will profit you spiritually. See, God's people left Egypt with much materially. May I remind you that they had very little while they were in Egypt? And the same way, God will enable us to move on from our trials in obedience to God's word. And if we obey God, God will manifest His power. He promises to. And God will provide abundantly. As Psalm 66:12 reads, God led His people to a wealthier place. God blessed Israel in the land spiritually. Because Israel, the land of Israel, was God's will for the people of Israel. And Moses, in leading the people of Israel into the land of Israel, in the land, God's people would enjoy maximum blessings from God. And beloved, this morning, as you and I obey God, which takes a measure of faith, we obey God. God promises to manifest His power. And God promises to provide abundantly. See, the people of Israel in bondage had next to nothing. But in obeying God, God said, "You're going to spoil the Egyptians, and you are going to have so much that you'll have to have your sons and your daughters carry everything out." But Moses, you'll need to obey. And my friend, this morning, the challenge is simply this. We just need to obey God. We just need to do what God has called us to do. No matter how difficult it might seem, God's calling is God's enabling. Obedience to God's word means that God will give us the grace to do what He asks of us. God always blesses obedience. And just like God gave Moses the authority, God gives you and I the authority to obey Him. And just like God gave Moses hope, a land that flows with milk and honey, God gives us hope as well. And just like God gave Moses a goal in mind, you and I also need to be mindful of that goal that He set before us in obeying God.
And just like God said to Moses, Moses, if you will just obey, it won't be easy, but I will manifest my power. And don't worry, Moses, I will provide your needs. In fact, I'm going to provide abundantly for you. You won't need to dip into your superannuation. I will provide for you. You just need to obey. And child of God, you and I just need to obey. And God promises to bless. And by the way, parents, and no extra charge, let God be God with your children. And if God calls your children to do something for His glory, like become a missionary or be a preacher, you don't need to help God out. Because if God has called your son, your daughter, to His service, God will provide for your child. Oh, a pastor, they need a qualification. They do, the calling of God. Is that not enough? That's a freebie, parents. That's a freebie. See, some of us have moved very little in the past 2.5 years. We blame COVID. And I must admit that it seems to me that some of us have gone backwards. And I must admit, I sense that some of us have not only gone backwards, some of us have made up some ground, but not where we once were 2.5 years ago. So, beloved, the challenge for this morning is, let's get moving for the Lord. God said to Moses, get going. Get going, Moses. That's the title of my sermon, by the way. Get going, Moses. Sorry, Jacob, I should have told you that before. Get going, Moses. Get going, child of God. Get going. Get going. For God's glory. Let's move forward for God's glory. Because in God we have hope. In God we have a goal to bring glory to our God. And as we obey God, God will manifest His power. God will provide our needs. Get going, Moses. That was the challenge to Moses from God. And child of God, this morning, God's challenge for you and I is, get going. Oh, Pastor, how can I get going? I just told you. Hope, goal, and as you obey God, by faith, God will manifest His power. God will provide abundantly for you, but you'll need to obey. Let's pray.